Chris Johnson, our NHL insider from Sportsnet. How you doing, Chris?
I'm well, Jeff. How are you?
I'm doing okay. I just had to listen to country music for 3 minutes while I was waiting for you to get on. And that's just, you know, that's 3 minutes of my life I'll never get back. I bet you heard some country music in Nashville, hey?
Yeah, you know, it gets in, when you're in Nashville, it fits the bill at that time. It kind of feels right when you're there.
Really?
Yeah, man. And okay. I'm not a big country guy. But
yeah, I know. When I was in Nashville, I find that I just leads to drinking to excess, and usually to late night vomiting, and somehow I associate that with country music. Anyhow, that's neither here nor there. You surprised by the Maple Leafs protected list or their available list or whatever list we want to call it? I mean, there seems to be some discussion about Brendan Leipsic being made available, but they kind of have enough of that, don't they?
Well, they do, and you know, I can understand the discussion. I guess seeing Matt Martin protected, you know, with still three more years on his deal, and would very likely not be selected if he hadn't been. I guess that's kind of the crunch of the debate. But, you know, the way I look at it is that every team is going to lose a player in this, the Leafs included. And, you know, they're set up pretty well not to lose anyone that's going to make you, you know, lose some sleep if you're a Leafs fan or a member of the front office there. And you know, if it is Brendan Leipsic, you know, good on him, and maybe he'll get a chance at the NHL level. But, you know, other than a brief stint last season, 2 years ago, essentially, you know, he hasn't been part of the Leafs' plans at the NHL level. And you know, I don't expect that he would have been anyway. So, you know, the benefit for the Leafs is they're not really losing anyone that is going to hurt the organization too much. And, you know, I don't think they had that many difficult decisions they're putting together that list.
I was going to say, was there anything that surprised you on that list? I looked at it, and you know, I understand the conversation about Leipsic. I get all that. But I looked at that list, and I didn't come away shocked by anything. They may be one of the few teams I didn't come away surprised about.
Well, they're in a good spot. I mean, all their best players are within the 2 years of the start of their career, meaning that they're totally exempt from the process. I mean, if we get a 32nd team in the NHL, say 3 years from now, and you know, Seattle's joined the league and there's similar rules, I think it's going to be a lot tougher for the Leafs to narrow down on their list. But, you know, there's no one there that, you know, I think was a cause of much debate internally as they did it. And, you know, really the only guy I think that there's any debate about is Matt Martin, because he's a veteran. He's essentially a fourth liner for them. He makes pretty good money, so he's not a target that you'd expect to get taken. And, you know, they did just sign him in free agency last year, so I can understand on some level why they protected him. But I think this was a pretty easy exercise in the Leafs front office around the league. There was some tougher choices, though.
Is there anything you saw in that draft list that, or any player that might intrigue the Leafs and might perhaps end up leading the Leafs to striking some sort of deal with, with Vegas? I mean, I know in the past people have written about Sammy Vatanen as being a guy they've had an interest in. I don't know about Matt Dumba, if the Leafs would have an interest in him. Do you see any players out there that the Leafs might be able to get through Vegas?
Well, those are the obvious two. And, you know, Anaheim, I expect there's a deal in place with Vegas to lay off some of their players. Mm-hmm. They put Josh Manson and Sammy Vatanen on their, you know, they weren't protected, so that, you know, technically they're eligible to be taken. And, you know, it would go much deeper than the Leafs in terms of teams interested if Vegas was able to claim Vatanen and was willing to trade him. I think Matt Dumba is another obvious choice just because he's a right-hand shot defenseman, and he's 22 years old, and you know, he's still not realized the potential he has, and he was a first-round draft pick. So it's the sort of player that doesn't move a lot under normal circumstances in the league. Teams just don't trade those guys if they have them, and you know, the fact that they're open to this expansion process, the fact that Vegas, I believe, is really focused on adding as many future assets as possible in this, you know, even probably more so than focusing on a team that can win a game in October. You know, those conditions exist to to, you know, I think help the Leafs out. But, you know, as I mentioned, they're not the only ones. I mean, Edmonton is in the market for the same type of player. Tampa Bay is in the market for the same type of player. And you know, we'll see if they can get, you know, that kind of trade done. You know, at this point, the one thing about that market is Vegas is asking for the stars and the moon in order to get those type of guys, because they control basically the entire trade market around the league right now.
Hey, you know, one of the things that really kind of fascinates me about what Las Vegas is doing, and we had Gary Lawless on yesterday talking about the Golden Knights, and you know, I understand the philosophy of accumulating as many draft picks as you can, and you know, having that as an important part of your rebuild, or in this case, your building up. But Chris, how deep are these next two drafts? Like, I was under the impression that this was not necessarily the deepest draft in the planet. And my question is it wise to sort of hoard all these draft picks in drafts that may not be that deep?
I still think it's the right strategy for them. And you're right, that the knock on this draft is that, you know, you're not getting the generational type of player at the top. There's no McDavid or Matthews for the New Jersey Devils who have the right to choose first. But, you know, if Vegas ends up with a whole ton of draft picks, they're going to end up with a lot of players. And you know, what they've determined is that, yes, the expansion draft is an interesting process for them. They're going to get some good guys in that process, but they don't feel that they'll be ready to win a Stanley Cup until they build a homegrown team the way that, you know, a number of organizations have done around the league. And, you know, by being the only team entering the league in this expansion process and controlling all those players and what each team will do, I mean, they're in a position to add four or five potentially first-round draft picks right out of the gate. And, you know, I think that they're talking about picks that go beyond this year, that are 2019, 2020 picks could be in play for Vegas as they, you know, try to stockpile as much as possible. And it's not a perfect strategy. It doesn't guarantee success. But I kind of get what they're doing here because, you know, as I mentioned, obviously they want to be successful and competitive to a degree right away. They want to build a team that's going to win more than 10 games or something, you know, unlike what Ottawa did when they entered the league 25 years ago. But they have a chance, I think, to be pretty good pretty soon, you know, with all those draft picks. I mean, just because you have them doesn't mean you select players with them.
Right.
They can be used for future trades down the road. I mean, it's almost like money is power. I mean, draft picks are a real currency around the league. And, you know, I think it's going to be fascinating to see how many they end up with, because some of them are going to be in these trades that have already been completed around the draft. But there's also going to be those players they select that they try to flip in the days afterwards, later this week before the entry draft.
Now, very quickly before we let you run, the report that they will assume a considerable amount of money from the New York Islanders in a trade, does that have any impact on the possibility that they would somehow assume money from the Leafs? And I'm thinking of, you know, some of the rumors about Joffrey Leupel's situation. Does that eliminate that, do you think, or could we expect to see the Nashville Predators, sorry, the Vegas Golden Knights actually assume a couple of those contracts to help them get to the floor?
It looks unlikely to me. I mean, they're also believed to be assuming David Clarkson's contract from the Columbus Blue Jackets, which, you know, is another $5 million. If they take on Mikhail Grabowski and all these guys with Leafs ties from the New York Islanders, that's essentially $10 million invested in two players that are very, very likely not to play for them at any point in the future. And yes, they have to get to the draft, the salary cap floor, a little more than $50 million. With their total contracts. But, you know, I'm not sure how many of those types of deals you want to take on. To me, it looks like that those are the two likely players to kind of be stowed away to help them reach that salary cap floor. But, you know, I would be surprised if they're taking on, you know, other guys beyond that you know, don't essentially have any factor in you from a hockey sense, just contracts. I mean, looks to me like those are the two deals they've made for draft picks and you know, to take those kind of deals.
Chris, it was great of you to join us. I know it's going to be a hectic couple of days for you, a hectic, I guess, right up to July 1st. At that point, I presume you're going to disappear and go golfing someplace and have a bit of a holiday?
Yes. Do not call as of July 2nd, Jeff, with all due respect.
No problem. Travis, make a note. We wait until July 5th to call Chris. No, just kidding. Thanks a lot,
well,
Chris.
I'll be in Japan by then, so you're going to have trouble reaching me.
Oh, we'll make it work. We'll make it work. Thanks, Chris. Travel safely, my friend.
Thanks, pal.